You can reach out a hand for Jesus today. Can you all say this? When I show up, I'm blessed. Now put your hands on your neighbors a little bit. Nothing too kind of touchy-feely, just, you know, right? When you show up, it's real nice. Come on, say it real nice. But here's the kicker, Richmond family. When God shows up, when God shows up, it's real special. How many want a special time with Jesus here today? Thank you, Jesus. Father in heaven, I pray for these next few moments as we go into your word. We thank you, Jesus, that there's something happening here, and that's nice. But we don't lean upon that, because many of us in this room know what it's like to have not and have. Through it all, Lord Jesus, may we be people who are like that lady who gave two mites. But Lord Jesus, as well, we thank you that we're here and we can be blessed by your presence and your spirit. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the family of God around Richmond here. But Lord Jesus, more than anything else, I pray this, that you would take these few moments that we have together and you would show up and it would be real special, Lord God. All joking and stuff aside, we need you, Holy Spirit. This is not about pomp and circumstances. It's not even about shoeboxes. All of these are symbols of something greater than us. Symbols of something, Lord Jesus, that we're a part of, that you have started 2,000 years ago and are continuing through here and into the future generations of our kids, of our kids' kids, and their kids' kids. Holy Spirit, come and make this time special. Jesus' precious and holy name. Richmond family, amen?
Amen.
Amen. If you have a Bible, you can turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5. My message is in line with your series right now, to be honest. This is not the message I want to preach right now, because this is not your kind of feel-good, kind of first introduction. Hi, we're the Youngs. Guess what? We like to smash strongholds, right? That's just not how you want to jive and roll. But how many know this is true? It's not what you want, but it's what God needs. Amen? Amen. So my title of my message today is Smashing Strongholds. Start this way. Strongholds. Evil authority, evil rulers. In some versions or translations in English, we call them principalities, powers. How do we stand in the midst of all the spiritual darkness that seems to surround each and every one of us, if not us personally, in our families? There's only one true way that I know of, quite frankly and honestly. And that is in the authority and the power that we have in Jesus Christ. Not in Tim Young, but in Jesus Christ, to smash every stronghold thrown our way. 2 Corinthians 10, starting from verse 3, reads this: "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to," here it is, "demolish strongholds." There's people in this room that need to get this in their spirit. I know last week Pastor Jim preached a message on bullying because I listened to it online. All 42 beautiful, glorious, gold-plated minutes of it, right? "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought," Holy Spirit, let it be, "every thought to make it" what? "To make it submit to my will?" No. "To make it obedient to Christ." Want to smash strongholds? Let's talk about that today. Ever since the devil himself led a disgruntled band of rebellious angels to worship him, there has been a war going on. You and I have maybe seen this war in full on, I was going to say Technicolor, but we're not in the 80s anymore, in full on HD, UHD, curved screen TV, you know what I'm saying, right? It's a fight between good and evil, between righteousness and truth, between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness, between life and death. And one of Satan's greatest weapons in this war is, quite frankly, one of his only weapons, if you look at the word, is to deceive, isn't it? To deceive humanity to do two things. To deceive humanity to believe that God and his word and what he says is not true, or to deceive humanity to believe something that is false, that is true. He knows that if he can get us to believe a lie as if it were the truth, then he's won the battle. When we believe his lies, and they're lies, huh? How many know they're lies? Believe his lies and do not recognize them as such, a stronghold is created in our lives, particularly, if we're going to get specific, in our minds, because we begin to get mindsets or traditions or habits formed, don't we? As Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians 4, verses 8 to 11, these strongholds need to be exposed, it says, and washed or weeded out of our lives. Ephesians 4, 8 to 11 says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are in the light." So you are light in the Lord. "Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, truth." And find out what pleases the Lord. Verse 11, "Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them." Question, what are strongholds? What are those things that Paul tells us and tells the Ephesian believers that they need to expose into the light? In the Greek, if you were to look up to the word in the New Testament, the word stronghold gives the idea of holding tightly. Imagine, if you will, that you and I like to go rock climbing. Maybe you, not me. But imagine if you and I like to go rock climbing. And how many of you have seen the Mission Impossible movies that Tom Cruise has done? Not okay. Not into movies. Okay, that's fine. But imagine if you were hanging on to a rock face, right? And you had nothing to strap onto. How many would be hanging on to that rock face with every single ounce of strength they've got? Because what happens if you let go? You're going to fall down. So the word stronghold there in the Greek connotes the idea of holding tightly, white-knuckling it, if you will. You know what I mean? Holding on for dear life. And by the way, it's not necessarily negative in the Word of God. Did you know that? The word stronghold can be used to talk about Jesus. For example, Psalm 18:2 says this, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold," it says. However, the truth of the matter is, for all of us that have lived enough life, strongholds can bring many negative outcomes in our lives as well. For example, a stronghold can be the place where the devil has you in his hand. It can be something that has captured the mind and holds it prisoner, right? It can be the place where the enemy gets you to fear something about your life, your family, your children, your marriage, your future, your health. Jesus, release us from strongholds today. It can be tied to family or generational curses. What do I mean by that when I say it? Because that's one of those buzzwords out there. Generational curses, meaning ties between subsequent generations in a family. The Old Testament, the Word of God, says that generational curses go through three generations. My granddad, my dad, and now I'm dealing with this, right? For example, women in this family have always done what they're told, never speak. You would tell me what that is? If that becomes a mindset, a tradition, that becomes a stronghold. Oh, yeah. If I'm going to be a good woman in this household, I'm not going to say a word. That becomes a stronghold. Or how about this one? Our family has never had enough money. Huh? For generations, we always struggle to make ends meet. We never have enough. It seems like there's always a hole in our hand pockets. You know what that can be? If it becomes something that is ingrained in your mind and in your family? Stronghold. In the end, strongholds are fortresses, castles, if you will. Seemingly impregnable places that are built deep in our minds. Right? We'll never have enough money. We always are in debt. Most were constructed before we knew Jesus, quite frankly. They may go as far back as our childhood. Things that we were taught or things that shaped our opinions about life or about what was right or wrong, was fair, was unfair. Unfortunately, many of these originated with a lie. And when that lie became truth in our minds, it became a structure or a pattern of thinking. That's when it moves away from, okay, yeah, it's just something I think, that women should not be heard. And it became something more. No, I'm not allowed to speak. That's a stronghold. Correct me if I'm wrong, if you've heard this before. My daddy believed this. My granddaddy believed this. So I believe this. In our family, we might as well accept that we're all alcoholics. Have you heard that one? There's a weed of alcoholism in my life, in my family. And we can never get through it, no matter how much we try. That is a stronghold, a lie, and a stronghold. Or this one. Oh, this one. I don't use the word hate in my life a lot, but I hate these words. I am useless. You ever said that or heard somebody who said that? I am useless. Huh? I never amount to anything. No matter, I'm the last one picked or always second in line when everyone's done or, you know, the people that no one wants. That's me. You know what that is? If it becomes ingrained in your mind as a tradition, it becomes a stronghold. And those are the things that we need not only expose, those are the things that we need to see God smash in our lives. Amen? They are built on lies. They originate, let's not mix words, they originate from the father of lies. And his plan is to what? Steal, kill, and destroy us. There's no other plan of Satan. It's one of those three motivations in your life and mine. Well, let me just pause here. You know, some of the words I'm saying are rubbing people a little bit, you know? Are you guys okay with this? You guys want to throw me out the door already and say, this guy's a little bit too out there, Pastor Jim, you know? We still got a couple of months, right? So, is it okay if I speak truth? Okay. Can I keep going? Okay, good. Thank you. So, if everyone's okay, I want to just push deeper into personal and corporate strongholds. Personal stronghold can be anything that we believe long enough and becomes embedded in our minds as what? As truth. We begin to think of the lie as the actual, you know? If enough people believe the same thing, then your personal stronghold becomes what? A corporate stronghold. Like I gave the examples before, in our family, we never amount to blah, 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 to anything. We're always, I hate this word, useless. There's not one person. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. How many know that God doesn't create junk? Oh, come on. How many know God doesn't create junk? Right? And if enough people believe a personal stronghold, it becomes a corporate one. Ultimately, there are corporate strongholds over families, over cities, And let's be honest, sometimes over churches, racism is a corporate stronghold. You ever heard this one? Not here. By the way, I want to say if you're a racist, I'm just looking, I looked out in the crowd a bit today, you're in the wrong place today. How many know that's the truth? I think you got every flavor and color under heaven here today. Isn't that nice? That's just an observation. But racism is a corporate stronghold. Sexual deviancy is a corporate stronghold. It's built on a lie. You know what that lie is? That it's acceptable to choose sexual habits that go contrary to God's will. My friends, can I be honest? We live in a culture, Richmond family, where sexual deviancy is part of the fabric of the society. And there needs to be a place where the people of God do what? Stand up and smash some of those strongholds. Is that true? It's true. I believe it's such, and I pray that our years we will see that happen in this city, Pastor. Because there's something there, the Father of Lies, where he's focused on that right now, it seems, right? So, you know, I'm not a politician. I'm not going there. But you think of some initiatives like Soji 123. We've been talking through abortion and all that, and all that has to do with life-giving, right? There's a corporate stronghold there that needs to be what? Smashed in Jesus' name. Strongholds can be any tradition or philosophy, quite frankly. And let's be real with the Word of God. This morning, attendance in a church, good religious morals, being a good person, that does not disqualify you from strongholds in our lives. Look with me, or note this later, but our Lord said this as well in Mark 7, verses 5 to 13. Jesus' own words, he speaks to strongholds and traditions. Jesus here is talking to the Pharisees, if you want to look that up later. I don't think it's on the screen, right? I'm going to read it here in a bit. But he's speaking to the Pharisees, the religious teachers of his time. And look what Jesus says to them. He says, starting from verse 9, and he continued, you, talking to the Pharisees, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. Hello. Any tradition or philosophy can be a stronghold. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. Black and white. It's right there. Word of God says it right there. But, Jesus says, you say that if anyone declares that what might, the word might is key to the passage. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father and mother is Corban, that is devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father and mother. In other words, you've moved my law from what is black and white to this whole gray area. You get to now choose what is devoted to God and what isn't, what should, what might. And God says, no, that's not my will. Verse 13, Jesus' own words. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that. My friends, the word tradition here might as well say mindset, fortress in our minds, stronghold. We, if we're not careful, can nullify the word of God with our traditions, the strongholds that we hold dearly to in our lives. So here's the big question. Identification is one thing, but how many know that God offers solutions? Amen? So we can probably recognize strongholds, but the question here, I want to give you four thoughts on how we can pull down these strongholds lodged deep in our mind, in our soul. I want to just say this quickly. I don't usually like how-to messages, because how many know that following Jesus Christ is not about 4 points? Right? Let's be honest, right? But I do feel that there's something here that will point us to the Word of God. Is that good? Okay. So number one, how do we pull down these strongholds lodged deep in our minds? Expose the lie, number one. we must realize that the battlefield is in our minds. And at some point, Satan influenced us into believing some lie as truth. As such, we must expose that lie for what it is and bring the truth of God into it. Ephesians 4:11, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. You know what that means? Don't allow a stronghold to hide and manipulate in the dark. Don't allow it to sit there and fester. For some of us in this room, this message, not because of this guy, because this guy is a, quite frankly, a babbling baboon sometimes, but allow the Holy Spirit, for some of us in this room, to speak to you. All right? Some of us have things deep in our hearts, wounds, things that people have said to us, things that we've been intimidated by, right? Would you begin dwelling upon what those things are just for a few minutes? I promise you this, that the Holy Spirit, if you allow him, will speak right now to our hearts. Don't allow a stronghold to hide and manipulate in the dark, hidden from others. Confess it. Bring it into the light of Jesus Christ. Bring it, if you don't want to bring it to these altars or bring it to a prayer time corporately gathered. Can I say this? I think this Richmond family is a safe place for us to bring it to someone we trust. Can I say we give that permission? We give you that permission. Bring it to somebody you trust who knows the Word of God, right? Who will listen and not judge, but help bring it into the light with wisdom. Help bring freedom. Don't allow a lie to grow and fester like a little weed through a hole, but expose it for what it is. Number two, use spiritual weapons. 2 Corinthians 10:4, our passage that you've noticed I'm not expositing this morning, but I'm using more as a launching pad. Again, not something I usually do, but I think it's right for this message. Verse 4 says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Spiritual weapons, not the weapons of the world, but spiritual weapons are what bring down strongholds. So you say, if you're like me, you're asking the question right now, what are you talking about, spiritual weapons? Give me something specific. I'll give you something specific. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Use your identity. How many here, don't put your hand in the air, because you say, well, that's a weird thing to say from a preacher, but how many here in your hearts have accepted Jesus Christ and follow him with everything, every fiber of your being? Huh? Right? That's a lot of us in this room, if not most of us. You know what that means? You're a child of God. Yes, you are. In your father's house, right? That's your father's house. Use that as a weapon against the enemy's lies. When the enemy says things to you like this, you're useless. Your granddad was useless. Your dad was useless, never amounted to anything. And you are going to be useless. You know what you can say? The truth of the matter is, no, Satan, you're useless. You know what I'm saying? You're useless. You're a defeated foe. You have no victory. All you have is deceptions, lies, and manipulations, and your attempts to pervert the truth. You will no longer have that stranglehold of my life. Because why? Because I realized who I really am. Who are we? Children of God. Childs of God is not the right English. Children of God, right? We have the victory through Christ Jesus. Colossians 2:15. I like the message here. It says, and this is a little bit out there language. Just be careful. He stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross, and this is what he did. Again, PG, parental guidance right here, and marched them naked through the streets. That's how Eugene Peterson put that verse. That's the authority that Satan has in our lives, really. Sham authority. You who are struggling, us who are struggling, because it's not just you, it's me too. Us who struggle with strongholds, understand who you are in Jesus Christ. Number three, confront the lie with truth. Confront the lie with truth. Expose the lie. Use spiritual weapons. Confront the lie with truth. We pull down strongholds by taking the lie that they were formed from, built from, the original thought, and confronting it with the truth of God's word. Every sin was conceived by a thought first. There was, oh, I wonder, and then it became reality. Look with me to original sin quickly. The serpent came to Eve and said what? Has God not said in the day that you will eat of it, that you shall be what? That you shall be like God? Notice what he didn't say. God has said this, but he said this in his sneaky, conniving way. Has God not said this? Are you sure? Isn't this what he kind of said? When Eve contemplated in her mind, what did she do? She believed what Satan said to be truth, and she ate. And Adam ate. And original sin was born. We must confront the lie before it becomes truth in us. Or if we're after the fact, we must confront that original lie with the truth of God's word. Look at the example of our Lord himself, Jesus Christ, in his temptation in the wilderness. The Holy Spirit leads him in the wilderness, right? Before he's about to start his earthly ministry, really on earth. And Matthew records that our Lord faced Satan in the desert. Matthew 4:3-4, the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, again, not you are the Son of God, nothing declarative ever, but just kind of conniving and manipulating along the sides, Richmond family. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Show me, prove to me that you're the Son of God, right? How does Jesus answer? Does anyone remember? Three words. Come on, I heard it here. What was it? It is written. It is written. He doesn't say, oh, okay, you want to see, you know, stones become bread? I could turn this whole desert into loaves and loaves of bread. But that's not what happens. He says, it is written, right? Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Deuteronomy 8:3, by the way, is what he quotes there. Jesus speaks the word of God as his defense. Are you struggling with a stronghold in your life? As I'm coming to a close here, expose it. Use spiritual weapons. And the greatest of those is the word of God. Two more times, Satan tempts. Two more times, Jesus starts his rebuke with those three words. It is written. The word of God, sharper than a double-edged sword. Finally, today, number four, make Jesus your stronghold. I like this one the most. Can I tell you something from my heart? God's power, God's plan has never been through principles or points, but always through what? People. People. When God decided to save the world, what did he do? He sent the person, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. When God decides to spread his gospel upon the world, did he drop a bunch of books upon the world? No. He sent you and me. He sent the Chantels. Look out, devil, here we come. Huh? He sent the Bills. He sent you and me. And the same thing for his hope to be revealed in life. It's through people. And as such, we need to make Jesus our stronghold. We need to, in a sense, reverse the curse as it is. Right? The stronghold in our lives, the C-U-R-S-E, we need to take the S out for Satan and get the cure. How many saw that? C-U-R-S-E, S out, and the cure being Jesus Christ. Amen? We need to find the cure of our lives being in Jesus. Again, Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress. At the end of it, it says, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Nahum 1, verse 7 from the New King James, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. Close with a story. Is that okay? Share your boat, my life briefly. I'm probably over time. Do I got 5 minutes? Okay. Pastor Jim kind of stole my thunder. I didn't know that that's what his message was last week. But how many here have ever been bullied? I know you were asked that question last week. I was bullied. My first 2 years in high school were dark days for me. My mom's here, and you're going to cringe because of the story I'm about to share. But I was not a nice young man in my grade 8 and 9 years. I got saved, found Jesus later in my high school years. But grade 8 and 9, my first 2 years, I fell in with a bad crowd. Won't go into all those details right now. And I was just looking for love in all the wrong places, if you know what I mean. I was angry. I was bitter. Bitter at that time, I didn't know, but bitter towards God. I felt I had no friends. I was lonely. And so the only group that would hang out with me were the bad kids, if you will. You know, they would smoke up things that you shouldn't be smoking up, drink things they shouldn't be drinking, and hanging out later at night than they should be. And so again, with my mom in the room, I want to say this. Yes, I was one of those kids that snuck out late at night, snuck back in early in the morning, and all that stuff. And so through it all as well, I was bullied. I'm not going to tell you a bunch of stories, but I remember I was either in grade 8 or 9. I can't remember exactly which year. But we were in gym class. It was at the end of it. And a couple of the kids took my gym shorts and my pants after I was in the midst of changing and threw them all out onto the gym floor right in the middle. And everyone had a nice little holler about that. Well, guess what? No one else would get my shorts for me. So I walked out there on the gym floor on my own and to pick those up. So I was, like some of you who raised your hands, I was bullied. Okay, and so this all came to a head for me when I was in grade 9 in my English class. And I was sitting, I don't remember, it was about third from the front. And the guy behind me used to be one of the guys who'd bully me, kind of put you down and stuff like that. So he kept kicking at my desk, kicking and kicking and kicking. And then he would push me, like push at my desk, or he would like take his desk and do kind of this little bunny hop. And then the teacher would look and think that I was. So it all boiled over for me. I had enough. Let me know what I'm talking about. In the middle of the class, teacher's at the board talking. He's turned around. He did it again, did this little bunny hop thing, pushed my desk forward so I hit the guy in front of me and all that stuff. And I stood up, threw my desk down. I looked right at him and I said this, "You want to go?" You say, "What are you, lost your mind? What are you saying that in the middle of class?" I said, "I've had enough of this." Okay, these people are not here. I'm just doing this thing. "I've had enough of this," I said, right? I did. I had enough. And I, you know what else I said? Okay, remember, let me qualify. I wasn't a Christian yet. Okay, so I'm not going to say colorful language, by the way, if you think that's what that means. But I said, "I've had enough." I said, "You want to go?" And I said, "Tennis courts, 305, you, me, let's get it on." Oh, my. After the words came out, you ever say something and you think, how do I get those back? Remember, I was the one bullied, so these were people, there was this like not It was me and a whole bunch of people. And I just said, you want to go? So I said it, and I couldn't live it down. It was the first block of the day. For the rest of the day, it seemed like we were going rocky. Do-do-do, do-do-do. The whole school, it seemed to me like the whole school or half the school knew about this thing, because people kept saying, are you really going to go and fight? You're really going to get in a fight? You really going to fight? You know, you're a young boy with a bunch of testosterone that you don't understand what's going on in your body. And you know what I said? Yes. And again, every time I said it, I was like, come on back here. Come on. Come on back here. So we got there, 3:05. We were at the tennis courts. I walked out. First time in my life I had ever had an entourage. You know what I mean? There was a bunch of people walking me out to the tennis courts. In some ways, I was thinking, if these people kind of walk that way, maybe I could duck out the back. Showed up, got into it, and can I tell you this? I'm not a good fighter. Can I tell you that? I got proof. My mom knows this because I came home that day and everything. You see my mouth, my beautiful smile? To this day, I'm not telling you lies here, because if you look at the way my mouth is, there's a crooked tooth right here, because the guy popped me one right there, real good. I had to go see my cousin, who's a dentist, for emergency dental surgery after, right? But you know what I did? And the reason I tell that story, and I ask the question, have you ever been bullied? Because the one thing I did do right, even though I'm not a great fighter, is I stood up. Come on. I stood up. You know what I learned in my life? A principle that God has shared with me as I've been saved, and from that episode in my life, if you stand up to a bully once, or you stand up to a bully once, or you deal with him for the rest of your life. You know what I'm saying? Let me bring it to the Word of God now. Let me hear of strongholds in your life. I mean, real things. How many have things that you feel people? Maybe it was your father. Maybe it was a playground. Somebody who was a friend at school. Or maybe it was passing thought, even from somebody that you didn't even know, but you met in the supermarket or something, and what they said really stuck. But if we've ever been bullied, how many know that the step that is most important for you and for me, and is my friend who's Don Moen and all that, is his name Chico? Cheeto? Him like the Doritos? Okay, Cheeto, wherever Cheeto is in team, if you guys could come on up, or somebody. Thank you, brother. But if you've ever been really bullied, and you've ever had to really face a real stronghold in your life, hear this thought from Jesus Christ, from the heart of God this morning. Stand up. And whether you're a good fighter or not, you know what? Jesus Christ will stand up with you. And he's the greatest fighter who ever lived. Could you stand up with me, church, and bow your heads? Not going to belabor this or push it, because I want to respect the time that we have before us. But I have some questions, and I ask if you would just close your eyes and take a moment before the Lord. We will have an opportunity for those who would like personal prayer. I'd like to stand with you. But if you have a stronghold in your life, is it time for some of us to expose the lie? To use spiritual weapons like our identity before God, to confront that lie with the truth of the Word of God, and to make Jesus your stronghold? Are there things that you're believing about yourself, your future, that are built on a lie? Are you tired of running to those things that ultimately don't satisfy? Those places that we feel are safe and secure but are empty, cause us hurt and pain and bring curse? A relationship? How many here in this room
are tired of bad relationships they seem to get into. Don't put your hand in the air. Jesus. Or habits. Or an addiction. Not just drugs. Are you ready to make Jesus your stronghold? Your place of safety and refuge? Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is strong tower. The righteous run into it. And they are what? You're safe. Bow your heads, close your eyes with me, please. I pray that every thought right now would be captive and obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. While everyone has their heads bowed and eyes closed, let me ask you a question. You tired of running from your strongholds? If you'd like to be remembered in prayer today, I just invite you to just raise your hand right now if there's one, two, or a few. Don't worry. I ask you to close your eyes because this is not about your neighbor. This is about you and Jesus. Put your hand in the air. Mighty, mighty God. Oh, Jesus. Every head bowed, eyes closed. If you had your hand in the air, could I ask you to do something just like I stood up? Just like I stood up. Not boasting in me, but in Jesus Christ. If you have your hand in the air, would you take a numb step? Come up to the front right now. I'd like to pray for you. Would you take that step? Take your time. Oh, mighty God. Oh, Rabasatatatata. Jesus, come inhabit the praises of your people right now. Come and be with us. If you're dark, coming up, you don't feel this is for you, can you do something that is so important right now? Would you be praying? Could we fill this place with the atmosphere of prayer and praise? These people that are coming up are not just coming up just because it's the thing to do in church. It's because they're making a step. A step for Jesus Christ. A step for life and no longer death. Would you be in prayer right now? We need you, warriors. We need you, Richmond family. Oh, mighty God. Jesus.